Listen and earn to the Profit Express with your host, Tim Healy. For over a decade, Tim has helped the Long Island business community create sales systems through sales system development, training, and coaching. Tim is also the president and owner of Healy Success Solutions. Get ready as we create big-time profits for your business today. Now, here's your host, Tim Healy.
Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I am Tim Healy. And I want to invite you to join me each and every week as we tackle the hottest stories, topics, and trends facing today's entrepreneur and today's small business owner. That's right, you. I'm going to do it right here on the Profit Express on 88.7 FM WRHU. So thank you for being on board today and listening. And if you happen to be out there on Facebook and you want to follow the show at the Profit Express page, give us a thumbs up. Let us know what you think of the show and other guests you like to have on the show. We'll work at getting them on for you. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me and the show, you can follow us at Radio Tim Healy. And that's at Radio Tim Healy. So thanks for spending some time with me aboard the Profit Express this evening. And for today's bottom line benefit, which goes on at 6:45, we've got the fat guy himself, Mr. Tom Jacoburger, owner and founder of Fat Guy Media, located in Mineola, New York. And he's going to be sharing with you, as he always does, the very latest in online marketing strategies. And tonight we're going to be discussing some of the latest challenges of what's going on at Twitter. So I'm actually very interested to find Tom's perspective on Twitter and their recent challenges. So don't go anywhere. Keep it tuned to the Profit Express on 88.7 FM WRHU. Now, if you are like the rest of the modern world, you've no doubt been told from very early childhood until today that you just shouldn't be selfish, scared, or stupid, right? We've all been told that. You don't want to be selfish, scared, and stupid. It's just not good. After all, these are states of mind or states of being that they're shameful. They could lead to failure. But what if fighting the fact that we are, you, me, and everybody out there listening, we really are selfish, scared, and stupid? And what if fighting it is actually waging a war against ourselves? Well, you see, selfish, scared, and stupid has helped shape our evolution, and it's actually allowed us to rise to the top of the food chain. In corporate America, though, has spent billions of dollars each and every year on seminars and the like, trying to motivate a workforce that, according to Gallup research, the workforce in America is roughly disengaged by 50%. So what end of the problem are we really facing here? How are we trying to motivate human beings? And chances are you're working for a company today that strives for perfection by engaging the wrong end of human behavior. Now, since we're all hardwired to be selfish, scared, and stupid, whether we want to admit to it or not, what if you could harness the good from each of those as a way to increase your performance, as well as your ability, especially in sales, especially in owning your own business? What if you could use your knowledge of that to help you be better prepared to engage and influence coworkers, your staff, customers? What if? Well, there is a way, and I'm about to introduce you to the man who has the answers. Today's guest is Dan Gregory, who's a behavioral strategist and author of the new book, Selfish, Scared, and Stupid: Stop Fighting Human Nature and Increase Your Performance, Engagement, and Influence. Now think about it. According to Dan Gregory, let's talk about stupid for a minute. Is necessity the mother of all invention, or is it laziness, he says in his book. If things are complex, people will usually avoid them and look for another way. Think of the inventions of the wheel, refrigeration, and of course the internet. They evolved out of a desire to make life easier and to create less work. And Dan goes on to explain in his book how selfish connects us to what really matters most to us while guarding us against values that are imposed upon us. And the next thing, scared. Being scared makes us wary, makes us savvy, and it helps us assert control in a world where out of control is actually the norm. And these are just a few ideas taken from Dan's book. And quite frankly, this is the book, this kind of a book is so counter-culture, to so much that I've read and doing what I'm doing as a business owner, as a radio show host, this is going to blow up a lot of theories out there. It's going to get a lot of us kind of scratching our heads. So it's our own inner primal instincts may be just the key to our success if we can unlock them. So it's a pleasure to welcome aboard the Profit Express, Dan Gregory. Gregory, again, he's a behavioral strategist and author of the new book, Selfish, Scared, and Stupid. Dan, welcome aboard the Profit Express today.
Thank you, Tim. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. And
good to hear.
Thank you, yes. And now, this is one of those books, because I have a number of authors on the show, as you can imagine, and so many talk about the motivation in so many different ways, shapes, and forms, and positivity, and positive thinking, and, you know, eliminating failure, and so on and so forth. And basically, you're going the complete opposite of that.
Yeah, well, what we're kind of acknowledging is the fact that motivation and discipline, they're great strategies, but they're short-term strategies. You know, no one is motivated all of the time, and certainly no one is disciplined in every area of their lives. And what we're really failing to admit is that our survival brain, you know, the most primitive part of our brain, is actually driving our initial decision-making, certainly at an unconscious level. And actually by raising our awareness of how our survival brain essentially calls dibs on all of our decision-making, we can actually be more effective if we align with that.
So we're actually fighting the fact that it's the primal brain that drives so much of our decision-making without really knowing it.
Sure, and I mean, exactly as you said in your opening, it just doesn't look good socially to admit to the fact that we're selfish, scared, and stupid.
Right,
so
right.
We kind of cover that up, and we ignore it, and we pretend it doesn't exist, and we pretend that we're motivated by, you know, our higher values, and that our prefrontal cortex, you know, the most sophisticated part of our brain, is actually driving. But that's not actually the case. It's actually, you know, our survival brain has to be in charge, because it has to react instinctively. And being selfish, you know, looking out for number one, being scared, looking to mitigate risk, and being stupid, in other words, having a bias towards the simplest, easiest solution, is actually the thing that keeps us alive. And yet it's the most neglected part of any kind of motivation or behavioral strategy that we engage with in business.
And it's funny, because we've all been programmed to kind of, it's frowned upon, you know, any one of those thought processes, selfish, scared, or stupid. Now, let's jump into the book. It was a fascinating read, I got to be honest. The happy delusion. Let's talk about that. What is the happy delusion?
Well, the happy delusion is all about the fact that we do have a delusion about who we are. We have a delusion about how we act, and it actually comes from a pretty good place. You know, we're actually quite happy with our delusion. I mean, if you universally, all around the world, when we do driver surveys, over 80% of people rate themselves as an above-average driver. Now, that's mathematically not possible. You know, you can't have over 80%. You know, and that's what we tend not to think about. We tend not to think about the fact that 50% of the human population is below average intelligence. We tend not to think about that 50% of every industry is below average competence of what they do. And we tend to assume that all things being equal, that just motivation and giving people instruction is enough to actually drive success. What we're saying is, rather than engineering for ideal situations, let's engineer for reality. In other words, let's design our systems and our processes in such a way that we have a bias towards success, but just as importantly, that we make failure more difficult.
You know, and you had in the book, and you spoke about it, and I even think on some of your YouTube videos, the airplane as a great example of failure.
Yeah, if you think about the way we've been, you know, running the aeronautical engineering industry, we've had multi-engine aircraft that have been designed to stay in the air even if 50% of the engines go out, so they can stay in the air long enough to land safely. And yet very few of us have anything like that kind of margin for error built into our businesses. And as a result, it's actually this optimism bias that we have. In other words, we have a predisposition to thinking everything's going to work out just fine.
Right, right.
And what that means is we don't work as strategically as we might, because we tend to cross our fingers and use hope as almost a drug that we're addicted to, as opposed to saying, well, hang on, here's what the reality is. Here's where things could go wrong. So how do I engineer for that? How do I create a mitigating system that allows me to succeed even if something goes wrong? And that's what we're really looking to do, is to work with organizations such that they have a bias towards success. So let me give you an example. There was a hospital, and it's a first world hospital. This isn't something from the third world. Mm-hmm. But it's a first world hospital, and they had a real issue with their staff washing their hands after going to the restroom. Mm. Now, these are medical staff. They're doctors, they're nurses, they're hospital administrators. They're people that know about germs transference. So they tried to motivate their people. They got all of their people into a room, and they said, okay, come on, guys, we need to wash our hands. We all know this. Let's do it. And so they motivated them. And then they didn't get the kind of response that they wanted. There was still germs transference happening. So they tried, you know, more punitive measures, more discipline. They put signs up in the restroom. Come on, wash your hands. You know, don't forget to wash your hands. You know, avoid germ transference. That kind of thing. You know, and there's a small uptick. What they found was actually the most successful thing, though, was it was a restroom door that had a handle that you pulled in towards you. So they took the door handle off the restroom and replaced it with a waterless hand wash. So the only way you could get out of the restroom was to pull against the waterless hand wash and to squirt this waterless hand wash into your hands and wash your hands as you left. So they made it impossible not to wash your hands. and of course they had huge success. But again, that's quite a funny example of how we engineer for success and engineer against failure. But it's a great example of, well, we can only do so much to persuade people to change human behavior. And actually, if we design a system that actually works with who they are, that accepts that sometimes they're going to be lazy or distracted or selfish, then we actually increase our chances of success.
You know, what's so interesting is it's almost as if, you know, in corporate American culture and in those the seminars and the sessions and the books, it's almost as if failure is a taboo word. It's a taboo idea that they don't want to talk about, and they just use the rah-rah. Well, it's not an option.
Yeah, very much. And it's counter to the experience of every entrepreneur. I mean, I've started a number of businesses in my lifetime, mm-hmm. and we spend a lot of our time working with entrepreneurs. And one of the things, you know, that, you know, when you start your own business, is failure is going to happen. It's not a when, it's not an if, it's absolutely going to happen. And actually, you need to be prepared for it. You need to have a strategy of what you're going to do. It might be something like, you know, a new competitor enters the market, and all of a sudden, you know, demand for your product or service shifts. You know, what do you do to counter that? Because if you're always in a position of being reactive as opposed to having a strategic response that's proactive, then you're actually making yourself and your business incredibly vulnerable.
Yeah, it's delusional, actually. So, folks, today's guest is Dan Gregory. He is a behavioral strategist and author of the brand new book, Selfish, Scared, and Stupid. And so there is hope for all of us out there, because, hey, it's part of our primal brain, so let's not fight it. And that's why Dan is here today, to really help figure out what motivates and influences us. Now, in the book, Dan, you talk about the fact that humans seldom really truly understand what drives them. I find that quite interesting. How is that possible?
Well, I think it's possible because we assume, essentially, we assume the best of ourselves. You know, we kind of view ourselves as if we're always the first date version of ourselves. In other words, we see who we could be, we see who we might be, we see who we aspire to be, and we don't always have a look at the warts and all reality. And that can actually get us into some trouble. You know, we assume that we're driven by our higher values, and that's not always the case. I mean, even in examples where you think people would be driven by altruism. So if you think about people who give money to charity, and we all give money to charity to a greater or lesser extent.
Sure.
But what's interesting is people give more when there's something in it for them. In other words, I am more likely to give to a charity raising money to research a disease if someone in my family has suffered from that disease.
Right.
So if you have a personal connection to the charity or the cause or the kind of social shift that's trying to be achieved, we're more likely to be generous in those moments. So in other words, there's an inherent selfishness even when we're trying to be selfless. And understanding that actually has us, more realistically appraise our methodology. and also what our chances of success are.
Well, it's also important for you know, the nonprofits to understand that, because they're the ones who are going out and aligning, you know, their point of view with the people who they're trying to get support their point of view.
Absolutely. We did some work many years ago for a cancer charity. And for years they've been running, you know, marketing and public relations that talked all about the great work that they did and, you know, the success they were having and the advances they were making. And it was exactly what you would expect a cancer charity to do. And they came to us and they said, look, guys, we keep making the same amount of money every year. It's not enough. We need to actually step change our engagement with our audience. And we said, okay, well, let's work with people are. Let's stop talking about yourself. Let's stop talking about you and what you do and why you're great. And let's talk about what's in it for them. And what we realized was 1 in 3 people in the first world develops cancer, which means the other 2 people in 3 are going to know someone with cancer. So instead of talking about the great work they were doing, we said, don't give because of us. Give because of the 1 in 3 people in your life who has cancer. And in that year, they raised 5 times what they'd raised in all previous years.
Wow.
Because they anchored the request in what was in it for them as opposed to what was in it for their audience as opposed to what was in it for them. And this is critical in sales. So often, we do a lot of work with salespeople.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so often you see people talking about their product or their service, you know, their features and their benefits. In other words, they're always talking about themselves.
Blah, 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 yeah.
Absolutely. And the sale is rarely in the product. It's almost always in the prospect. In other words, the more you're able to show me, or the more you're able to frame your value or your contribution in terms of what's important to me, the more likely I am to engage. That's critical in business.
And you know what? You talk about it in the book, too, you know, listening. And that is such an underrated, you know, poorly used skill. And, you know, again, people are just talking about, you know, how great they are, their product, their service, and not at all listening or engaging on the other side.
Absolutely. And it's typically, if you walk onto the sales floor of almost any industry, typically the wrong person is doing the talking. You know, and the interesting thing is,
yes,
customers and your clients will tell you how to sell to them if you give them enough time.
If you listen,
they'll
right?
reveal who they are. Absolutely, absolutely.
Right. Oh gosh, well, we could that topic alone we could talk for another hour. Now, in America, we are a culture that I think most Americans would believe is obsessed with the positive, with winning. Which is great. I mean, I think to a certain extent that is a good mindset to have, of course, but we're obsessed with it. How can accentuating the positive to an extreme, let's say, how can it lead to negative results?
Well, I think what it does is, as you can tell from my accent, you know, I'm not an American, but I do a lot of business in the United States. I'm an Australian and I work all around the world, and Australia is not that dissimilar from the United States. You know, we call ourselves the lucky country where every year, you know, Credit Suisse says we're the richest per capita country in the world. You know, it's either between us or Switzerland every year. So we're a country that does incredibly well, and what that does is it creates a sense of confidence as well, which is a terrific thing. We do have this bias towards wanting to be successful and wanting to build and wanting to grow. However, what that does is it creates a sense of almost a sense of privilege, and we sort of end up in a position where we might write checks our bodies can't cash, or rather invest in businesses that we can't actually bring to profit, and that actually becomes a real issue. And what we're saying is, look, being confident is terrific, being optimistic is actually fantastic. But we also need to be strategic into the bargain as well. We need to actually engineer our businesses for a modicum of reality if we're actually going to have a chance of building stable businesses that can survive. You know, we're living in an age of unprecedented change.
Mm-hmm,
and I think it's critical to understand, you know, how business works at a strategic level. I mean, one of the biggest issues we find with entrepreneurs is they're typically driven people. They're optimistic. They're visionary. And they know a lot about their product or their service or the role that they play. Very rarely do they have an equal understanding of how business works. So we work with a lot of entrepreneurs who know their product but don't actually understand what business they're in. Let me give you a quick example, Tim. We were working with some optometrists recently, and we said to them, okay, guys, can you tell us what business you're in? And they all said, oh, we're all eye doctors. We're all in medical services. And we said, terrific. Okay, so where's the money? Where do you make the margin? Do you make the money in the back room putting that device over my face and asking if the vision is blurry or less blurry? And they said, well, no, you know, the consults cover the costs, but we actually make all of our real money. We make our margin selling frames.
Yep.
And we said, well, okay, so you're not in medical services. You're all in retail fashion. And, of course, you can imagine they all looked at us like 5 years at college, and these guys tell us, you know, we're working at the Gap.
Talk about blowing their mind. Wow. I love it.
Yeah. And we said to them, but tell me, how is your store decorated? Is it decorated like a fashion boutique that's inviting and I want to go in, spend some time browsing, putting some glasses on? Or is it decorated like a medical clinic that people find intimidating and they don't want to go inside just to browse? And are your frames arranged by face shape so I know it's going to make me look good? Or are they arranged by season so I know it's going to make me look fashionable? Or are they arranged generically by brand? And where do you spend your training budget? Do you spend your training budget on yourself? Or do you spend your training budget on the 19-year-old who's sitting up front updating her Facebook status when she's your sales department, the source of all your profit? And it's easy to laugh, you know, but we all do it. We all do it in our businesses.
I'm laughing because I'm not the optometrist, but...
Yeah, exactly. But it's a universal experience. People know their product, they know their service, they know their job. They don't often understand the business that they're in. And that's really about shifting the focus from you to the value you provide for your customers.
Well, Dan, to be honest, and again, folks, it's the Profit Express right here on 88.7 FM. Today's guest, behavioral strategist and author of the new book, Selfish, Scared, and Stupid. We have Dan Gregory with us today. And we're talking about the primal thoughts that we have of being selfish, scared, and stupid, and how it's actually not a bad thing, and we should actually embrace it. But you know what's funny? Laughs aside, Dan, you know, the story you just shared about, you know, the optometrist, I'm sorry, that's a great example. We know the product, but we don't consider, you know, what are we really selling to who and why are we selling it and how are we selling it? And it's really a very eye-opening experience for people, and I can just see so many egos getting in the way of really, you know, let's talk about stupid. Let's just sell this the easiest and simplest possible and most direct way we can to the consumer without complicating it.
Yeah, and look, I think that, you know, the key lesson is that think selfish, scared, and stupid doesn't mean act selfish, scared, and stupidly. It means learn to think rather from your point of view. Think from their selfish point of view. Think what's the fear in your customers? Because there's fear on both sides of a decision or both sides of a purchase relationship. There's a fear of taking action, but there's also a fear of not taking action. It's about understanding that fear exists on both sides, and how does that become a motivator? And also understanding how do we reduce the friction between ourselves and our customers? I mean, so often you see. You'll go to a website. Let's say it's an e-commerce site, and I want to buy something off a website.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to go through pages of application, the chances of you losing a sale from me are huge.
Oh yeah.
So we build these layers of friction and these layers of boundaries
between
ourselves and our customers. And actually, we should be making it as easy and as simple. And it's hard not to fail as possible. So that's one of the things we find with organizations all the time is we build so much friction and so much detail into a lot of our processes that they become unworkable.
Absolutely. Dan, do you have some time to stick around?
I absolutely do.
Okay. Up next, folks, again, it's the Profit Express right here on 88.7 FM. Today's guest, Dan Gregory, behavioral strategist and author of the new book, Selfish, Scared, and Stupid. Up next, we're going to find out why we should be thinking selfishly or selfish and why it's a good thing right here on the Profit Express.